Truth is, it's a topic that makes most of us pretty uncomfortable. We live in a society that doesn't like to think about it much. Doesn't like to talk about it much. Doesn't like to deal with it much. In fact, does all that it can to minimize it and deny it. Do you know that in all the funerals that I've done, I've never seen one where they've lowered the casket all the way down to the bottom of the hole. If you ask them to lower the casket, they'll just take it to ground level. Because we're not really comfortable, and yet the stark reality of death is not really anything that we're going to avoid. You are going to die. You are going to die. I am going to die. All of us are going to have these bodies that, unless Christ comes first, are going to give out. Unless Jesus comes very soon, each one of us is destined for one of these. It's the way that life is on earth these days. Maybe sooner, maybe later, maybe young, maybe old, but we are going to die. This topic of death, physical and spiritual death, is really one that needs to be more central to our life than it really is. Because the truth is, you see, God gives us foretastes of death all the time. You know, in the book of Genesis, we read what happened. God put Adam and Eve, man and woman, in the garden. He said, you know what, you can have full run of the garden. You can eat of any tree, of any fruit that you desire, except for this one. Do not eat of this, because on the day that you do that, on the day that you break relationship with me, on the day that you are disobedient to me, you will surely die. And we sort of have this image when God first says that before we read the rest of the story. Of course, most of us know the rest of the story, so we don't really think about it. But it sounds like it's going to be kind of chomp, boom. But that's really not what happened, is it? And it looks like Adam and Eve lived for many, many years after that. But you see, the truth is, when we think about what death really is, they don't. Because right away, death enters into creation. And Adam and Eve, who had this perfect relationship as husband and wife, suddenly begin pointing fingers at each other and realize that they were naked and they were ashamed because they were vulnerable, and they realized that the other person violated them. And one of their sons killed the other one of their sons. And the relationship with creation was broken. And the relationship with God was broken. And you see, what all of these things are were a foretaste of the ultimate death that was to come. And we have these foretastes of death in our life all the time. We have illness in our life. We get sick. That's a little foretaste of death when you just feel like, oh. It's just a foretaste of death. We have relational disharmony. We have these best friends, and then all of a sudden something comes up in the middle of these relationships, and the relationship is broken, and we don't speak anymore, and we avoid each other anymore, and we begin to tell secrets that others told, and this relational harmony comes in. You know what that is? That is the smell of death. And some of us live in incredible, intense loneliness. And we hate going from home from work at night because we know we're just going to sit in front of a television that's got nothing to show worth watching. And we just feel this alienation from all the rest of the world. And it seems like everybody else has a great life and a joyous life and a full life. And we sit alone. And you know what that is? A foretaste of death. The beginning of death. And some of you experience a divorce where your life and your world, it's like somebody took a bat to a pane of glass and it just is shattered and it feels like there's nothing left and you're not quite sure you want to go on. That's a foretaste of death. And we hear about wars and we hear about the disharmony that we have with creation that is part of the curse. Where we try to oppress creation and creation rises up and throws up thorns against us. And when we have these battles and these fights, you know what that is? That's the whiff of death. You see, we all have these experiences where we face this one person or another. You know what? This happened to me and it's just like something died inside of me. Well, these are all foretastes of death. They're all little warnings put in place by God that the time is coming, that the danger is there, that you will ultimately die. And then we all go through this second little sort of foretaste of death, and that is the failing of the body. Sooner or later, our hearts give out. Or our lungs quit expanding and contracting. And the blood stops flowing. And our flesh turns cold. And those that love us lay us in something like this. And the rest gather around and say, this was the life that was. Because the body has failed. Death has come to this person. But the truth is that even this is really only a foretaste, only a picture of what real death is, of what the ultimate death is. Because you see, the ultimate death is not the failing of the body, although that's tough on everybody around. That's very difficult, but it's not the ultimate death. The ultimate death is separation from God. The ultimate death is going to this place where we are set apart and blocked off from God and all that is good and all that is light and all that is beauty and all that is marvelous and all that is wonder. And when we are cut off from that, then that is called death. And we face an eternity separated from everything that is good. We separated an eternity of alienation from all that is good. And we call that hell. And the Bible says that without intervention, just as every one of us gets a cold, just as any one of us experiences relational disharmony, just as every one of us tastes a little bit of loneliness, just as every one of us has a little bit of trouble with disharmony with creation as the weeds come up, just as every one of our flesh will fail, unless there is intervention, every single one of us will spend eternity separated from all that is good, all that is love, all that is life, death. It's where we are all headed. Now, in the face of this inescapable reality, Jesus makes an incredibly audacious claim. He's in the middle of a bunch of conflict. And in John chapter 8, which is where we're working our way through the Gospel of John, we're to John chapter 8, and then right around verse 51, he makes an incredible claim. Listen to what it says. He's been just finished saying, as we saw last week, that, hey, you know what? I can set you free. And he says this, the Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying you're a Samaritan and Jesus possessed? Aren't we right in saying you're nuts? I'm not possessed by a demon, said Jesus. But I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will not see death. You know, that really is an amazing claim. It really is an audacious, amazing claim. That God says, if you will obey my word, says Jesus, then you will not see death. Well, you know what? I'm sure that we've all been to funerals. And we've all been to funerals of people who have lived, by and large, their life in obedience to Jesus, and yet they still end up in one of these. So what does Jesus mean? If you obey my commands, you will not see death. Well, of course, Jesus is speaking about the ultimate death. Jesus is speaking about the ultimate separation from God. Death as it is truly divine. Not just the momentary failing of the flesh, but the eternal separation from God. And what he's saying is, if you will obey my commands, then you will have ultimate life. You instead will not face ultimate darkness. You will have ultimate light. You will not experience ultimate alienation. You will experience ultimate intimacy. You will not experience ultimate wrath, but ultimate love. You will live forever. You will go, the Bible says, from glory unto glory. From the glory of life as we know it and all of the joy that's there. I mean, we experienced some this week with the birth of my grandchild there. I mean, just an incredible, incredible joy to see this miracle of birth, this glory that is life. So you'll go from that glory into the glory of eternal life if you will obey my commandments. See, the Apostle Paul puts it very, very well. He says, look, you need to understand something. These bodies, they'll fail. You know how he describes what we have right here? The Apostle Paul says, they're kind of like tents. Canvas tents. And you know what happens to tents? They're only good for a little while. And then they rot out. The zipper breaks. The seams come apart. The canvas gets thin. And he says, what happens is in the end, we have to fold up that tent and throw it away. And so it is with these bodies. They're like tents, temporary tents, good for a little while, but eventually they get thin, they get worn out, we start to come apart on the seams, and they get folded up and thrown away. But he says, now what we look for in the future is an eternal, imperishable body, an eternal body, a complete body. So what does Jesus mean by this promise? If you will obey my commandments, you will not see death. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist of probably about a century ago now, I think put it so well. He's laying on his deathbed. Laying on his deathbed. Those who love him around him. And some of his last words were this. Earth is receding. Heaven is approaching. This is my crowning day. This is my crowning day. Our flesh fails. But when we obey Jesus, when we begin to see Jesus in all of his fullness, without the foretaste of death in our mouth, without the smell of death in our nostrils, and we are giving new bodies, bodies that last for all eternities, bodies that are suited to dwell in the very presence of God. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that great resurrection chapter. For the perishable, that's our present flesh, the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortal, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, grave, is your sting? This is our hope. This is our message. This is our central truth that this body will fail, but God gives us a new body that will not fail. One that lasts for all eternity, dwelling in the very presence of God. But there's a condition. And Jesus is very straight about the condition. He says, whoever obeys my word will never see death. We saw the same message, last week, in verse 31. He said, you want to be free from these chains? Then I'll tell you what. Whoever obeys my word, who holds my word, they are truly my disciple. And now here we are down here in verse 51. Same thing. Whoever obeys my word. And as we go through the rest of John, you're going to find this theme coming up again and again and again, that to follow Jesus means to obey. To obey. You see, if we want to be a part of the victory and the conquering over death, then we need to give God more than just some nods, some general acknowledgement that, yeah, I believe that Jesus is God. Jesus is looking for something much more than this. Jesus promised that this would mean nothing to us. It's for those who commit their life to him and in the power of the Holy Spirit live in obedience to his teaching and his commands. Now, how does that work? You say, well, I thought we were saved by faith, you know, but we're saved through faith by grace. What are you talking about, all this obedience stuff? Let me put something in your heart and in your mind that I hope you chew on for a while. In the Bible, obedience is a definition of faith. Obedience is a definition of faith. Faith in Scripture is not just some sort of nice idea that we hold in our mind that's going to do us some good someday. Faith in Scripture is not some warm, fuzzy feeling we get in our heart and in our bodies when we sing songs that we like. Faith in Scripture is a life of obedience. Check it out. And that's what Jesus is driving at here. He's saying, look, you want to conquer death? You want death to be something that we can just wink at? You want death to be something that we can just look at and say, you know what, that's just as temporary as this. My body's going to be there, but I'm going to get a whole new, brand new body and all those things. You want these things to be true? Then understand this. Jesus says, those who obey, who are truly my disciples, who are my followers, who are my apprentices, who are living by the power of the Holy Spirit, this promise is for them. Anyone can have the promise. Jesus invites us all to seize the promise. But it's for those who live a life of discipleship, of following, of apprenticeship, of obedience. A life of faith. Well, this is quite a claim. And it's quite an expectation. And remember that Jesus makes this claim right in the midst of a big conflict. I mean, this is a crowd of people who are growing hostile towards Jesus. And he stands up and he makes this claim. And so they want to know, how is it that you can make this kind of claim? How in the world can you stand up there and promise people that they will not see death? And Jesus says, well, I can promise that because this promise is coming from the great I Am. Let's read on. Pick it up in verse 52. You'll never see death. At this they exclaimed, now we know that you're demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets, and yet you say whoever obeys your word will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so the prophets. Who in the world do you think you are? And Jesus replied, look, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, they said to him, and you have seen Abraham? Very truly, 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 listen up, I tell you, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. And at this they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from them in the temple grounds. Who do you think you are, Jesus? Telling people that they can go through life and not see death? Who in the world do you think you are? You're nuts. All of our great heroes of the faith. Abraham, our forefather. The very one that God called out of the Ur of the Chaldeans and says, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as numerous as the sand on the beach. That Abraham that God used to found our nation, he is the greatest one we can follow. He died. And all of the prophets between Abraham and now, they died. Not all of them, a couple got away from it, but they died. And you're telling me that you are not going to see death? Are you greater than them? And Jesus says, let me explain something to you. I am the point that Abraham was all about. And when those prophets spoke, they were speaking about me. All that God has done through your people, all that God has done through Israel, all that God did and promised through Abraham comes to fulfillment in me. Abraham rejoiced when he saw my day. What are you talking about? You're just a young guy. You're not even 50 years old yet. And you saying that you saw Abraham who lived 2,000 years before you? They're starting to get really boiled up and churned up. I mean, Jesus is making some pretty audacious claims. He's stepping on some pretty tense territory. But he's about to blow them out of the water. He's about to make the most profound claims of all literature. Jesus said, I am. And the crowd picked up stones to stone him. Well, what's going on? Well, we saw it in the video, didn't we? Moses, sort of the second founder of Israel, when Israel was reborn, when Israel was led out of captivity, out of slavery in Egypt. this Moses, when he was being commissioned by God, said to God, well, they're not going to listen to me. Who shall I say send me? And God said, tell them, I am sent you. My name is Yahweh, which means I am. Tell them the one who is eternal sent you. Tell them the one who always was and the one who always will be sent you. Tell them the one who is the source of all great things. Tell them the one who is the source of all life. The great I am sent you, said God. And when Jesus stands in front of the midst of these crowded people and he makes this audacious promise and he offers people this incredible claim and he invites them to be obedient to him and they say, how can you possibly promise that kind of thing? Jesus says, I can promise you because I am God. I am, and I can do it. Make no mistake about it. Jesus, this carpenter from Nazareth, claimed to be God. He says, you want to know how I can promise that this isn't the end for you? I'm God. I'm God. I am life, and I can grant eternal life. And the crowd of people, understanding what he was claiming, picked up stones to stone him because they rejected that claim. And in rejecting that claim, that's what they chose. They chose death. Not just the foretaste of death, of tough relationships and sickness. Not just a little bit tougher death of our flesh failing and our blood running cold. But eternal separation from God and all that is good. And so for each of us, the same choice is there. And it comes down to whether or not you believe that Jesus is the great I am. It comes down to whether or not you're willing to turn that disobedience that happened way back there in the garden that introduced death. If you in your life are ready to turn that around to obedience in the power of the Spirit so you can have life. That's what lies before us. It's as simple as that, really. So the team's going to come up in a minute and we're going to sing some more songs about life and choice. And if you have never yielded your heart to Jesus, you've never said, I believe you are the I am. I desire to live my life as your follower, as your disciple, as your apprentice. I desire by the power of the Spirit to live my life in obedience to you that I might have life and know you fully. I'm just going to be standing right over there, and you can come and share that with me, and we'll do whatever the next step needs to be. Let's pray. Father, this is an incredible gift that you give us, this gift of life. And yet, sometimes it seems difficult for us to make the choice of following Jesus. So I pray for those of us who have made that choice and who daily desire to place our lives in your hands for you to mold and to shape, for you to fill up with your Spirit so that we might be transformed into the image of your Son and live in obedience to all that is good, that we might be a joy to you and a joy to all of creation. And I pray, Father, for those who perhaps are wrestling with this decision right now, that it may be as new to them, it may be fresh to them, it may be something that they've walked away from. I don't know, Father. But you know and they know. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, you would speak to their hearts that they may come and embrace life. We thank you for this great promise. In Christ's name, amen.